So, we're sitting here with Jodi Melick in her pied-à-terre on the Upper West Side, and we're going to talk about her... Actually, we're in Central Park, too.
No, I'm good.
No, she is good. But we're going to talk about her latest work that premiered at The Kitchen and got rave reviews. So, 2 weeks later, can you cast your mind way back to the very start of the project? And let's talk about fanfare. Let's separate
okay,
it out. So
good.
Let's talk about fanfare first. And just tell me a bit about, I'm interested in like the projections and the installation and how you approach that from a work point of view. Like, did Bert, did you see it? Did you see a mock-up of the installation?
Well, firstly, I said yes to working with him. We have a little bit of a history that we don't need to... I mean, all good. I mean, how I met him and all that. But I'm a huge admirer of his work, and I relate to his work, and I love his work. And I had seen the piece in his studio before, like 2 years ago or 3 years ago. And
the fans,
and the projection. And he wanted me to do something with it kind of back then. And and my idea was, I didn't see it as a full-length piece, so I knew I wanted to do a shorter piece under the these new circumstances, but that's not important. And I thought, for me, it had only to do with it being very sensory. The motion of the fans, the light it cast, the air around it, the space between me and the fans, how it would affect me. I mean, just to be in the space with such a simple but very imposing set. And unfortunately, that didn't really happen because I didn't work in a studio with the fans at all. I saw them a couple times, so I was very wary of how that's going to work.
That's really interesting.
Yeah, I was not happy about that, actually.
You would prefer to have them there the entire time.
Well, yeah, because it was, in my head, it was about the sense, it was about me making this solo material that I was really interested in, that of course was just of the body, and it was made purposefully that it didn't kind of expand out on itself, or it didn't go out on tangents, as it often does when I work, which I love, which is great.
Right.
You know, you have like a seed of an idea, and it kind of, you know,
right.
I didn't want that to happen. I just wanted it to be like one thing, maybe two things, okay, maybe three things, but that's it. So anytime it went out,
I brought
it back. So that was my basic idea to develop the material.
Well, wait a minute. I'm going to interrupt you because how does that relate then to the whole initial reaction to the fans and the sensory thing?
Well, because I would just have this very small pool of material to choose from,
okay,
and that pool of material would be affected by the fans,
gotcha,
by being in the space with the fans. And I knew that light was sort of like our third component. It was me, fans, and light, because in order for the projections to work, I knew it was going to have to be dark on stage. So I knew in my head I was making a piece that was dark, and I don't mean like dark.
Right.
I mean visually dark, and that was going to affect the sort of progression of the piece and what that, it was not going to brighten up at any point, because it was just as much about the installation as it was about me. So I really had to just, I kind of just stuck to my guns in the studio with keeping these ideas simple, and that week that I was in the kitchen was really the week that I sort of just kind of realized physically what was going to happen to me while I was in the space with the fans. And then just because I had enough time by myself in the studio, I kind of used that not as an improvisatory element, but I knew that the piece would happen as I'm doing it.
Right.
And that was part of it. But I had the material so well in my body. And there's a section at the end where I'm really close to the fans and flickering in out of the light, where I'm kind of,
right,
not in my head, I say, marking the movement, but I'm trying to remember every single thing I've done from the beginning of the piece that evening in performance up until now.
Wow.
So my brain is really, really working, and sometimes my body is doing the material, I could remember it, but then my brain has to catch up, and vice versa. So that's why it was very kind of faceted. And when I would get lost in it, I really, while I was performing, just, you got to remember what you left out. What did you leave out? Get to it, catch it, go back. So I would jump back in the piece. You know, this is, while I'm dancing, I would jump back 5 minutes in the piece.
While you're still doing what's moving forward in the piece.
While I'm moving forward, I would remember that, oh, I left out this. That slow sequence in the beginning of the piece, that's maybe 10 seconds. Oh, my God, I left that out. I'd go back and I'd insert that back in, and then I'd have to remember where I was. So there was a whole... So I purposefully made it that it was very...
heady.
Heady, but physical.
Sensory as well.
Yeah, so that was also that kind of sensory idea of it.
That was amazing.
That was a bulk of... Yeah, well, it made it very enjoyable to...
Challenging.
Form, but it also made it, in a way, a release. It was like, okay, when I get to that bulk of that section, which was the bulk of the end of the piece, but, you know, it's prior before, till Dennis comes out and I do that still thing. It was like, I couldn't rehearse that part. Not physically, but kind of mentally, because I knew it had to happen when it was going to happen. That's what the point of that part was.
With the hand and the head.
No. The part where I was near the fan, kind of doing
sorry,
the whole
just before
piece
that.
Over and over. Yeah.
And
that kind of got me into this kind of mental frenzy. And as soon as I just felt like, okay, that's all I could remember of what I did, and I was like, oh, I think I got everything in there. Okay, I'm just done.
Wow.
Like, as soon as it dawned on me, no, that was it. I'm done. And I started walking into this other thing. And this started just because I had this idea of just thinking about, I see a lot of art and work and stuff like that, visual art, and I'm thinking, God, I could, or anything. I could really stare at something, which is why I really love a lot of Bert's work, because it's like one thing over and over again. I'm one of those viewers who can really see a painting or something and really stare at something, or even your face or something. I could really be really engaged and very satisfied. And in dance, there's always that expectation of something's going to happen, or movement, or you just don't really look at something and accept the stillness. And in a painting, you kind of do, and even if you look at a landscape photograph, the longer I look at it, I kind of like something morphs, the lighting or something. I could imagine the environment, like what happened a little bit before the photo was taken, light-wise, or what happened a little bit like 10 minutes later, you know, like something, I get a more of a rounder the whole day, not just the photo, but I, you know, as the darkness is coming, that's why maybe you see the lightning bolt on or something. So I thought, what if I just did something really, what if I just stood still for 3 minutes? And I was like, well, okay, but what if I just picked one gesture? So I just picked one gesture.
And this is the gesture. Just
this is the
one with
the finger
gesture. The hand following the finger or not following
or not,
the finger.
Right.
Before Dennis comes in.
Right. And I was trying to, you had seen that part in the studio.
Yeah.
And I was trying to do exactly the same thing. But again, it was more of the idea of the gesture. So it wasn't exact. But as soon as I did it, I wanted to remember it.
Right.
And I remembered it. And then as soon as I realized I did something a little bit different, I had to go, okay, well, now I got to remember that. And then I would do that, and as soon as that changed, I was like, okay, I got to remember what that change is.
It's so funny you say all this that was going on in the show, because, I mean, I did get to see bits of it in the studio before the show, and it looked like totally different work. It looked like a totally different piece.
Yeah.
And obviously it would be. So what you're saying is it wasn't like, oh, I'm going to make up this phrase, and I'm just going to plant it in front of these fans, and that's it. The phrase is going to be exactly the same.
Right, no. I knew it was a good, I kind of, in my fantasy, I was like, okay, that's all it's going to be, because that's all I can do. But I
knew
once I got in there,
it was going to be
this piece I imagined, and the only way I could have, you know, I was making another piece at that time. So I just had to stick to my idea and trust that that's what I wanted to happen.
Yeah.
So it was going to happen.
Yeah. But it did. I mean,
the but it wasn't going to happen until it was actually happening.
Right.
And that's the part that I was like, no, that I'm just going to stick to that.
Wow.
And maybe that has to do with just, maybe that's the one thing I was confident about, that I can do that.
Have you done it before?
No. I'm pretty like, I want to know what it is. And I'm not a big, I don't take a lot. I mean, I'm not a big like, oh, we'll just see what happens. Or, you know, like, we'll just see what happens when you get there. No, no, I'm performing. I want to know that while I do this, there's going to be, like, someone's going to be setting a fire up stage left. Like, that will affect me. Like, yeah.
Or somebody's going to throw a tomato at you.
Yeah.
But I think the effect was, in, like, I wrote down loads of stuff when I was watching you one night, and one of the things that I really remember is, like, the irony of what I'm about to say is, matches what you were just saying.
Right.
That it really felt like you found this material for the first time. And I saw it two nights in
right,
a row.
Right, right.
Every time you did it, it was like you had never done it before.
Right. And that was because I wanted to have the experience of doing it in the performance, in the piece. And because of, I think of my relationship to timing, which is probably one of the few things I understand in
your relationship with timing.
Timing. The one of the few things I think I understand as a physical person, as someone who understand spaces between events or how long you should be somewhere while I'm doing it. I have a really good, it's like an enzymey thing or something.
But that is timing.
That is, yeah, I understand.
Oh, that's interesting. You don't understand.
No, I understand. That is
right.
Something I understand. Like, I understand. Once I do something, I pretty much can tell, like, oh, I don't need that timing-wise, or, oh, it should be longer, or it should blah, blah, blah. Like, that's something I, as a performer, I've learned that I do understand.
But surely...
Hopefully.
But surely you're kind of, I think as an audience member, you're kind of in control of that. So if we feel that the person understands that, you can dictate the timing.
Right, right.
So it's not in a sense like, you know,
right. Like if
measured
I,
time.
Right. If I'm doing something, I'm like, that was way too long. I know, I pretty much can tell that, and if I still do it, it's intentional.
Right.
Like a little bit in Suede Head, like I was like, no, there's no reason for that to be that long, but I need it to be that long for that reason. Like,
right. That's really interesting
yeah.
that you say that as well, because there is this kind of subversive kind of pull, I think,
right.
in this piece that I saw, you know, against, like everything was intentional. So if you
right.
knew you were doing
you kind of have that sense
purpose.
Too, though. I remember when I first saw the sugar thing. That was the thing that caught me, that, oh, a lot of people don't, that's not an easy thing to have, but you have that too, I think. I noticed it in between your sections, like when you go to the chair and you'd sit there and you'd eat or something, or like, oh, she gets, like, she's not indulging, she's doing what needs to be, she's giving it enough time in between. It's
but I guess what I'm kind of digging deeper at here is, I think...
I'm trying to say that Jean is undressing in front of you right now. I just saw that.
I just got really hot.
She's unbuttoning her blouse and her hand just slipped towards her breast. Say that.
No, you're putting me off my thought now. So there is an innate sense that one may have towards timing.
Right.
I agree.
Or
but at the same time, I think it's more than that. There's kind of a, you know, I think there's a confidence that the audience is comfortable
right,
with.
It can't just be with, you have to, and I have to be aware of that. I can't, like you say, an innate sense of timing or like, I just can't, even though I think I might be right or like that feels right for me or the piece, I also have to look at it as a whole evening or a piece saying that, well, that might not be right in context of the whole evening or the
right.
piece from, like, if I was in the audience. So I do take a lot of that
right.
into consideration also. But, like, this gesture, you know, my tendency is because I can get somewhere faster.
To slow it down almost?
No, I can get somewhere time-wise. Like, I can go for, you know, like, I wanted that whole feeling of, like, a 5-minute stillness where you do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I can manufacture that feeling in maybe a minute.
Right.
So I could have done that for 5 minutes, or I could have done it half as long, but I felt like doing it, like, I don't know how many times we decided to do it, now I forget, maybe 30, or it ended up being almost 2 minutes or a minute,
right.
Like a full minute and a half before Dennis came out. I thought it was also like just a way to go from where I came from, kind of transitioning out, and then being in that mode of that picture painterly thing of you can just look at something not doing anything, and as of someone who's been moving around a lot for
right.
the last 15
the,
minutes,
the
this
first
is almost
time you
nothing.
Just sit there.
Yes.
Stand there. Sit there. You don't
right.
There, you
and I'm doing
there.
Something very little, so
right.
it's almost as if I'm not doing.
But we get to see you, and in that moment, we get to process everything you
right.
just did. So we're almost doing what you were doing while you were performing.
Okay. Right. And then once you get in that like sort of zone, like I was trying to figure out. Okay, I gotta figure out this next part I'm going into. So I had to make sense of that with that gesture to bring.
Right.
Dennis on, and then like why all of a sudden does this man come on, and why do we do that material? And
well,
know.
If I hadn't known that Dennis was coming on from seeing it in the studio, the piece could have ended there. But again, this subversive pull,
right, right,
it's like no, that would be very almost predictable,
right, right, right.
In hindsight,
right,
you know,
right.
say, oh God, yeah,
right.
that would be a bit ooh,
right.
She ended it there. But no, out of nowhere, you bring Dennis on.
Right, out of nowhere, I bring Dennis on for, you know, I mean, it wasn't out of nowhere, but.
It was out of nowhere.
I mean, in my head, it wasn't out of nowhere. It was out of nowhere, meaning like he just kind of appeared, yes. But it was, you know, not starting from the beginning and working through the middle and the end with the Dennis person, but more like starting at the end. I knew what I wanted once we were in it was that I wanted a very specific kind of material that I would not perform by myself, and that it was very much of Dennis. It's very important, my relationship with that man and what I've learned from him and what kind of material we've shared. And it was almost like I had an image in my head of him doing a certain kind of material that I wanted to actually make.
Mm-hmm.
And I would not necessarily make that kind of material, that kind of very undulating, sequential.
Right.
So I wanted to kind of be in his body or sort of, it was almost like a little poem to him. Or, which there were a lot of little poems to a lot of different people in the whole evening.
Right.
And that one was like sort of, you know, also Joseph Lennon in that piece, there were kind of these like football walks, and that's very much of Joseph. And then the whole kind of undulating thing on the floor, that's just not kind of something I would just do and kind of show my crotch and like undulate on the floor, even though it was very, very...
So
I do. Really? Huh.
So then, when did the idea of, was Dennis in the piece, when did that enter your head?
Oh, it entered
very
my...
early on, or?
Not very early on, but you know, I have this thing about solo work, is that I feel like I'm really interested in solo work, but I don't want to be alone on stage. So on a very superficial, simple level, bringing another person on into the stage sort of kind of combats that.
That's really interesting because in the next piece, and we can probably flick between both
yeah.
of them as we are,
yeah.
in Suedehead, you know, that was really, really obvious, but in the most almost like ridiculously beautiful way. I mean, you had Vicky and you had Juliet there, and they, just the way they leaned up against the wall, they were part of it, they weren't witnessing
right,
it, they
right.
were absolutely part of it, but it felt like
I mean,
their
that
presence.
Was, that was choreographed, too.
Of course it
I
was.
I mean, that was like really specific in that you lean when this, and we'll come together, and we'll look at you, and like...
Oh, you knew, yeah, that wasn't
yeah.
just like hang out and witness. This is
right,
part,
right,
like the whole
right.
piece kind of like... fell from the floor and up the walls and
yeah, oh cool,
like
that's
really
like that. It was Juliet's idea the first time we ran it, which was probably a few days before
right.
the kitchen, you know, because first of all it's too scary for me to run, it's a lot of dancing and
right.
It's hard to push yourself sometimes, I'm so exhausted at that point in making these works, this show, that they were like, we gotta run it, because they didn't really have a sense of the whole piece.
Right.
So we would do sections and sections. So the first time we ran it, it was completely clear to Juliet, and Vicky agreed that after the first thing and they come on, they should leave. They should leave the space and then come on again instead of stand against the wall the whole time. And what I noticed was that I was uncomfortable doing so much dancing by myself, and I have these like two phenomenal creature dancers, choreographers, friends against the wall for like the first 12, 13 minutes just kind of watching me. And at first I thought that's the only way I can get through this piece, but then I thought, oh, that's so weird that like it feels really more narcissistic than making solo work already, and that, oh, what a shame I'm there not in it more, but I'm not doing that right now, and that I felt embarrassed that I made that decision almost. So it was a great thing to hear from Juliet that they should come and they should leave and then they should come again and the piece should restart with them.
Their presence was like I don't know, it just like, as I said, it just like, it was almost like the casing.
Oh, that's great. I love that. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it was protective as well.
Right,
like,
if you look at
our skin, like a membrane that
protects
our organs.
Right.
I mean,
And not to be so like, oh, insider with the dance world and everybody knows each other's business, but I think hopefully, regardless, if you know my relationship to dance or my relationship to Vicky and Juliet, you would get the idea that it was those two people for a reason, just like it was Dennis for a reason.
Well, there's also something else
That piece. Yeah.
Yeah, there's something actually, and I'll tell you now, because I saw it on the opening night, and then I saw it the very next night. And the first night, I was really distracted by Vicky and Juliet because of who they are as dancers.
Right, and they weren't really doing a lot.
Right. So I was kind of going...
waiting.
Yeah.
Right.
And then I kind of relaxed into it, and it's kind of like putting, you know, I don't know, two like big heavyweights on stage, like Stephen's new play in Dublin.
Right.
He's on stage with Sean McGinley, and I went and watched a rehearsal, and I said, you guys need to kind of ease the audience in to looking at you two mammoth people on stage.
Right, right,
right. Because otherwise it's just like, it's too jolting.
And at the same time, they had to be significant figures, even though they don't do a lot.
Right.
So it was a very kind of thought out.
Yeah.
Who's going to do that? Like, who would?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting kind of conundrum that, you know, it's like,
how do you,
and even looking at you, how do you shed Jody Melnick, the performer, the kind of dancer, from what you're doing?
You do or you don't, and that's something that like has been a big battle in making work and dancing. But then what's the other choice? Not to do because I'm known or seen as a dancer and a performer, and you know, it's like, well, I have to know that my choices were integral to other choreographers' work, and so it's not just that I'm this dancer.
Of course.
Yeah, and I've never been treated that way. I'm just saying, but that is a big... that is a big thing, to, you know.
It's a big thing to not necessarily overcome, just, I guess, to deal with. I mean, when you're watching somebody who's great and you admire, you bring all these expectations.
Right.
And I think what was really great, and I kind of tying this back into your work, is that, you know, there was such a fucking maturity there.
Aww.
No, there was. Like, I just came out, and I was like, wow.
I don't feel that at all, but okay.
No, I really felt like there's like years of stuff in this piece.
Mm-hmm.
You know? That I don't sometimes get when I watch a lot of dance. I don't get years and like, you know, I get lineage or I get this, but I like knowledge and years and choices and thinking and thought
considerations.
And you know, that's why I just thought, wow, this is just like...
I do feel like I have... I do feel like I identify so much, or I am identified.